You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Welcome to Episode 7, Reality is Reality, Part 1.
How and why did a 25-year-old with a Pikachu bedspread become the number one terrorist in the United States?
In 2017, Reality winner, a highly decorated former Air Force linguist, was charged with leaking proof of Russian interference in the 2016 election.
Her goal, to help protect democracy. Reality received the longest sentence ever imposed for unauthorized release of government information, 5 years and 3 months.
This is Reality is a real-life true crime podcast recently recommended by Apple as new and noteworthy, which takes a deep dive into Reality's life, her time in the Air Force, her decision to protect America by releasing that information, her interrogation, trial, imprisonment, and the extreme obstacles she faced along the way.
Reality winner has been depicted as a traitor and a terrorist. Our podcast, This Is Reality, sets the record straight.
I'm Sally Horchow.
And I'm Dori Berenstein.
And this is Reality. In the past 6 episodes, you've heard from those closest to Reality about how the events of the last 5 years have affected them.
And now, we will be shifting gears for the next few episodes, as Reality is finally able to tell the world her story in her own words.
Let's start at the beginning. Reality grew up in a small town in rural Texas with her parents and older sister, Brittany. Reality shares about her childhood.
So I definitely didn't have a conventional childhood. My mother was working. She was a workaholic for Child Protective Services. And my father was stay at home. He had a back injury. Back in the 90s, there was no opioid epidemic, but we were, you know, some of the first families affected. He was a drug addict. You know, I guess you could say it was tumultuous as times. He left in 1997. And within 3 years, mom had married my stepdad, Gary, which, I mean, he was the greatest thing to ever happen to our family. Gary's my dad. I love him. So it was like from start to finish, just always having that special bond with Gary.
Reality shared a special relationship with her older sister, Brittany.
Brittany and I, we were so uncannily close when we were children. We do not have neighbors in Ricardo, Texas. So most of our childhood was spent in our own little world, creating worlds out here, exploring.
But as Brittany explains, there was also a bit of sibling rivalry between them.
There was a lot of competition. The teachers had me first. So they had these expectations of Reality, and Reality doesn't like being put into a box. That's another important thing to know about her, is that if you think she's one way and if you kind of announce your expectations to her, the first thing that she wants to do is defy them.
Growing up, Reality was a gifted student and athlete, playing tennis, volleyball, and soccer. She developed a love of language and had a deep responsibility to help people. So she joined the Air Force as a cryptolinguist.
There's a quote that I'll never forget. And it's basically, to learn another language is to gain another soul. And so I had always looked at national security through the human interaction and understanding, and that it was through a cultural understanding that was where the peace was going to happen, as opposed to just continually waging war and just dominating people. And that's where I really wanted to start learning Middle Eastern and North African languages, because there was this wave of extremism coming out in the early 2000s. So I really thought that linguist meant that you are speaking and using that language with people, and it was a humanitarian type job. And it actually turned out to be most of the time sitting in dark rooms NSA stuff that I can't talk about, and certainly not feeling as though you're actually part of the solution. But I was always thinking about the bigger picture, and I always wanted more.
After 6 years, Reality chose to leave the Air Force to pursue humanitarian aid work.
So I remember looking at ways to work for the UN, the Refugee Center, work for the Red Cross, work for USAID, all these NGOs. And it was like, either you have to be able to afford to live for a year in country by yourself doing a free internship, or you have to have like a master's degree and 7 years of international experience to get the entry level positions. I didn't understand then that humanitarian aid was pay to play. It was a very privileged, it was not like people on the ground handing out blankets out of the goodness of their hearts. I became really disillusioned in that whole aspect, in that whole world.
So shortly after her discharge, Reality took a higher paying job with the NSA in Augusta, Georgia, to shore up her bank account for her future in humanitarian work.
So that's how I wound up working in Georgia. It was really just like one more rung on the ladder, trying to get into a world of humanitarian aid that I didn't have the privilege or the financial backing to get into. You know, a lot of people ask, like, how did you wind up there? I just wanted to be somebody impressive enough to go pass out blankets at a refugee camp. And I don't know, be that one person that changed a life. And that's why I guess I was vulnerable at the time to do something so impulsive, you know, because I was still thinking about this bigger picture as opposed to what this one action would mean.
The decision to leak government documents about Russian interference in the 2016 election was grounded in Reality's determination to protect America. At the time, in 2017, the headlines were asking if Russian interference was in fact fake news. Reality was frustrated, as she had seen definitive information confirming the interference right there on her NSA server. So she decided it was imperative to share this information with the American people.
It was very much about helping and filling in a void of information in May 2017. You know, I always refer to it as the big question mark that was ripping our nation in half, and just giving an answer that couldn't be spun either which way, good or bad. When I did what I did, I was just so gung-ho that anybody looking at this would see the altruism and that my character would not be questioned the way that it was. And I did not expect to be made out to be like an enemy of the people. To me, the act was so pure that anybody looking at it, even if they didn't agree, would say, oh yeah, she definitely just made a huge mistake. And I almost thought I would be protected by that, by how simple everything was.
But her actions set off a series of events that were far from simple. Reality recalls the moment 11 armed FBI agents surprised her at her home in June of 2017.
So I had groceries, so I actually parked perpendicular to the front of the house. And before I had even gotten out of the car, they had pulled up right behind me and came out. They explained who they were and they explained why they were there. And I was just like, okay. Like, and then they asked to search the house. And I said, you know, in my mind, I was like, well, there's nothing in the house. So that did not bother me. I didn't view that as this huge thing. But what I started noticing is that all these cars came out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden there was caution tape. Like that happened instantly. And in my mind, I was not thinking I'd be in jail that night. So I was asking for permission to put my groceries up, or would y'all do it for me, or would y'all watch me? And I thought, when the FBI show up, you're done. Like, that's it. Yeah, I had no idea what to do, but I knew there were a lot of them. I knew they were armed, and I was terrified. And by coming clean almost immediately with the FBI, it was like, if I just tell them right now, are they just going to shoot me right now? How are they going to shoot me here? How are they going to shoot me there? They keep letting me go to the bathroom, but they haven't secured the weapons. Is this a setup? They're all going to run in and shoot me when I'm on the toilet and say something about the weapons in the bedroom. Like, I just remember like asking them, like, please secure the weapons. Like, do you all want to watch me pee? Why are you letting me go to the restroom alone? Like, can somebody come with me? Like, it was one of those times where like you realize how small you are and just how easily everything about you can be twisted and how quickly your life can be ended and nobody will ever know the truth.
And the truth was complicated.
In all honesty, this was not something that was premeditated. This was, I mean, I didn't do my research. I vaguely knew who Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning were, but like they being the intelligence community, kind of give you a fear of knowing about them. You don't go home. You don't look them up. You don't read the Washington Post articles about them. You're not allowed to. So I had no idea about either of them. I didn't know who Daniel Ellsberg was. In 2019, somebody sent me the Pentagon Papers. So I didn't know there was an American history behind this kind of act, other than these two other people who were obviously demonized and not good. And I wasn't anything like them. It was just one simple act. I didn't even think to have an attorney, right? Didn't do my homework, did this super impulsively. But to have someone say that you had been planning it for the past 6.5 years, it was just insane. And that to shape everything I've ever done in my life through something that I honestly, truly did not think about, it was just like, you start to believe it. You dwell on it so much. And it's taken me so long to realize like, no, you didn't think about this. I didn't think this through. This wasn't a plan. I didn't want to be a hero. I didn't want anybody to know my name.
One of the most shocking details of Reality's arrest is that she was never read her Miranda rights.
Then the survival plan was, okay, like it was me, but what's going to happen? That was when I started asking, like, am I under arrest? And they kept saying, we don't know yet. And again, we don't know yet. So I didn't know if I was under arrest. So no matter how many times I asked if I was under arrest, I was never read my Miranda rights. Like, I didn't have an attorney. Like, this was not something in my mind. Like, I committed a crime. I need to have a defense. That was never in my mind. It was just, I committed this act and anybody who would see it would see that I intended only good. And now fast forward to, I'm scared for my life. They're not telling me if I'm under arrest. And now they finally said, we have to take you in. They didn't say the word arrest. And now they're saying, we're sorry, Miss Winter. No, he said, I'm going to have to apologize. It's going to be a bit of a drive. So again, I didn't know this was simply a criminal matter, that this would go to a normal court that an attorney would have actually helped me with. But when like non-uniformed FBI show up, like then it was like, I'm racking my brain like, oh my God, they're going to drive me to Quantico tonight and I'm going to be disappeared. And then saying, oh, well, it's okay. We're going to, you know, cuff your hands to the front. You'll be in the back seat with me. I'm like, that doesn't make me feel better, bro, but okay. Like, but they never said the word arrest. And so it wasn't until, I guess he went on, got on his cell phone for a minute and then was talking. He was like, okay, no, we have to go get a female to do the body search and a female officer will make the arrest. So it the word arrest, the time that it became clear to me that this really is a criminal matter and I'm going to a normal jail was only made like as a side comment to explain why we were waiting for a female to come, because up until that time, there were 11 men in and around my house.
After her arrest, the media painted Reality as a terrorist. She was never given the chance to tell her side of the story.
I enlisted to prevent the next 9/11, simply because I didn't want it to happen again. But honestly, like the entire 6 years, that's what I thought I was doing, that I was actually fighting terrorism. That's what it meant to me. And it meant that somebody would have to understand these languages on a much deeper level in order to prevent the next serious attack on the homeland.
In our next episode, Reality shares what happened after her arrest, how she was held without bail for over a year, why she accepted a plea deal, and the horrors she faced while incarcerated. You can support Reality by signing her petition for clemency at standwithreality.org.
Please join us for the next episode of This Is Reality, and make sure to check out all the podcasts on the Broadway Podcast Network.
Reality's interrogation by the FBI was captured in the critically acclaimed Broadway show, Is This a Room?, conceived and directed by Tina Satter. We're incredibly grateful to our special guests, Reality winner, Billy Winner Davis, and Brittany Winner. This podcast is created, written, and produced by Dori Berenstein, Sally Horchow, Rebecca Aparicio, and the Broadway Podcast Network.
Sound engineers are Alan Seals and Kimberly Garris.
Podcast editor is Alan Seals.
Executive producer is Liz Armstrong.
This Is Reality is part of the Gotham's Fiscal Sponsorship Program under the Sound and Light Project.
Please join us for our next episode of This Is Reality by following and finding out more information on bpn.fm/thisisreality. And finally, special thanks to Bea Westby, Katie Rosen, Ayanna Prescott, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUFS. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, SUFS celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. SUFS has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.